Over the next few years, this pattern repeatedly recurred. Roosevelt would face resistance. The Supreme Court, say, would overturn his programs, and enemies on all sides, Senator Huey Long and labor leader John L. Lewis on the left, Father Charles Coughlin and wealthy businessmen on the right, would launch hostile campaigns in the press. Roosevelt would retreat, ceding the spotlight. In his absence, the attacks would seem to pick up steam, and his advisors would panic. But Roosevelt was just biding his time. Eventually, he knew, people would tire of these endless attacks and accusations, particularly because by refusing to reply to them, he made them inevitably one-sided. Then, usually a month or two before election time, he would go on the offensive, defending his record and attacking his opponents suddenly and vigorously enough to catch them all off guard. The timing would also jolt the public, winning him their attention. In the periods when Roosevelt was silent, his opponents' attacks would grow, and grow more shrill, but that only gave him material he could use later, taking advantage of their hysteria to make them ridiculous. The most famous example of this came in 1944, when that year's Republican presidential nominee, Thomas Dewey, launched a series of personal attacks on Roosevelt, questioning the activities of his wife, his sons, and even his dog, the Scotch Terrier Falla, who Dewey accused of being pampered at the taxpayers' expense. Roosevelt countered in a campaign speech, "The Republican leaders have not been content to make personal attacks upon me or my sons. They now include my little dog, Falla. Unlike the members of my family, Falla resents this. When he learned that the Republican fiction writers had concocted a story that I left him behind on an Aleutian island and had sent a destroyer back to find him, at a cost to the taxpayer of $2, $3, or $8, or $20 million, his Scotch soul was furious. He has not been the same dog since. I am accustomed to hearing malicious falsehoods about myself, but I think I have the right to object to libelous statements about my dog." Devastatingly funny, the speech was also ruthlessly effective. And how could his opponents reply to it when it quoted their own words right back at them? Year after year, Roosevelt's opponents exhausted themselves attacking him, scoring points at moments when it didn't matter, and losing one landslide election after another to him. Interpretation. Roosevelt's style can be likened to jiu-jitsu, the Japanese art of self-defense. In jiu-jitsu, a fighter baits opponents by staying calm and patient, getting them to make the first aggressive move. As they come at the fighter and either strike at him or grab hold of him, either push or pull, the fighter moves with them, using their strength against them. As he deftly steps forward or back at the right moment, the force of their own momentum throws them off balance. Often they actually fall, and even if they don't, they leave themselves vulnerable to a counterblow. Their aggression becomes their weakness, for it commits them to an obvious attack, exposing their strategy and making it hard for them to stop. In politics, jiu-jitsu style yields endless benefits. It gives you the ability to fight without seeming aggressive. It saves energy, for your opponents tire while you stay above the fray. And it widens your options, allowing you to build on what they give you.